your hits for Gila County. Gila 101.9.
Now it's time for the monthly meeting with Globe Mayor Al Gameros. Al, welcome. How are you?
Good, doing good. Thank you for having me again.
Always.
Sorry I missed last month.
Oh, yes, but you'll catch us up, so tell us all.
You bet. You know, I'm going to start with some of my January reports. The City of Globe and Arizona Water, we have entered into a water service disconnection agreement, and that was effective February 1st, 2026. And what this agreement is, it allows the City of Globe to request Arizona Water Company to shut off water service for those customers with joint service accounts who are delinquent in paying their city sewer and garbage bill. And this main geographic area that is affected with this agreement is people that live west of AutoZone that have City of Globe services but have Arizona water. The city currently has documentation of 19 residents in this area. They are delinquent in their payments for a total of about $43,000. So residents who reside within the City of Globe and are serviced by Arizona Water Company, they should have received a notice in their monthly bill in January. And I live west of AutoZone, too. I live in the Pioneer Hills area, and I did receive notice that they had entered this agreement. And what this does, this agreement sets forth a mechanism to which Arizona Water will receive reimbursement for the cost and lost revenue incurred when terminating water utility service to companies, to customers for the City of Globe. So the cost to disconnect and reconnect water is a shared customer, and it's $100. And then any lost revenue resulting from the water service disconnection. So these costs will be passed on to their bill, the customer bill. Those are their delinquent in their payment. So we request that anybody that is one of those 19 residents that are delinquent in paying to please contact the City of Globe Water Department and make arrangements for payment before the loss of water service.
I wanted to interrupt you for a moment because maybe I got this wrong, but it's 19 customers. Did you say it was over $43,000?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yes. How is that even? This is residential?
Residential, yes.
$43,000? I mean, to me, the numbers, my God, they must not have paid for decades.
Well, they haven't paid for a while. There's some that owe quite a bit. And what it is these are customers that are for residents that the main bill they're not paying is their garbage and sewer. So if you're a resident in the City of Globe and you're delinquent in your water and sewer bill, we could shut your water off. But if you're an Arizona water company, we don't have that mechanism.
Got it.
So this makes it fair across the city with all residents. That if you are receiving, if you do have Arizona water service, that if you're delinquent in paying your garbage and sewer, your water could be shut off. And then you'd have to pay those costs of shutting it off. So as long as they meet with the city and start making payments, I know I've seen some of them. Some individual homes owe $6,000-$8,000.
That's just so enormous to me because normally sewer and garbage, what is that? Maybe $100 a month?
No, I live in the city and for sewer and garbage, I pay $44.
$44. Okay, even better. And so $44, Think about this. And they owe thousands? Literally, that goes back because there's only 12 months in a year. Oh, my God, I'm having trouble understanding this, and I certainly understand why you would want to do what it took to get this collection. So AZ Water will shut it off, but the city will reimburse them for their losses?
The city will, yes, for their losses, but that will be passed on to the City of Globe customer.
Oh, of course it will. Of course it will. No, I more than understand that, but I'm rarely do you leave me speechless, but I am, so carry on.
Yeah, and this is something we've been contemplating for a long time. You know, there are cities and they build new homes that they build. They have where they have sewer shutoff on the city side.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're delinquent, they could shut your sewer off or shut off your sewer. We don't have that capability right now in these areas. And we didn't have any other mechanism because we didn't service their water. So when the water is shut off, then they would be turned into the health department too. So now they need to deal with both.
Right.
Better that they take care of it prior to happening.
And some of this area where it's City of Globe, like the area above Fry's, they're on septic, but they do have Globe garbage. So, yeah, this is very interesting. I can't wait to hear how it works out.
Yeah, us too. Yeah, and it's mainly the Pioneer Hills area, Chaparral.
Yes.
And we got Country Club Annex in that area. It's not a large amount for that amount of money to be missed, not being paid.
Just enormous. Well, like I say, I can't even comment, so let's move on.
Okay. I'll move on. I'll skip the about the NRCS because I'll cover it in my next portion.
Okay.
Ever since the appeal from the governor, we have had some decent results because now we've had a couple of visits, several visits from FEMA representatives and state representatives. They come to our community requesting more information, and that's good. I think that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
We had one scheduled for last week, but because of the shutdown, we're told that they canceled that meeting because their flight was denied because of the shutdown again.
Okay.
So they still are looking at our request.
Good.
On our appeal, so hopefully that'll work out for us.
I think so. I would be very shocked if it didn't, because ultimately, when you really come and see the extent of the damage, it's hard to deny.
Oh, yeah, you bet. And we submitted $96 million in damage just for the City of Globe.
Right.
So since then, we were approved with the NRCS. We did put in an application for NRCS, which is Natural Resources Conservation Services. And that's a loan under, or an award under USDA. So we awarded $24 million, the City of Globe was. But we're still working under the 75-25.
Yeah.
So of that $24 million, it's still going to cost us about $5.5 million.
Sure it is.
With only the state declaration.
Right.
So if we get the FEMA declaration, it'll be much better. It'll only be 10% to us, which will cut it down maybe to about $1.5 million or something like that.
Good.
So there is some challenges, though, with the NRCS. And this first project that we feel is vital to our community is that we take sediment out of the creek. So that's the first project we have, is to take sediment out of the creek. We have about 2.8 miles of waterway within the city's limits of Globe. And then we want to secure the banks, any of the banks that are washed out, to keep it from happening again. If we were to get another rain here, and as we did before, which I hope I never see again, but this will help at least build capacity to keep the water flowing so we don't see the damage that we saw in September.
Good.
The project, though, and the time has already started, we only have 220 days to complete the project under this program. So what we have to do before we move forward, and we're already doing it, we have to get the creek engineered, and how much we're going to take out or whatever, what it's been. And it's, we're trying to take it down to historic levels. So some areas could be 4 feet deep, some could be 8 feet deep. It just depends. So all that is being done. They even did aerial markers. So there's been small planes flying and marking the creek area and creating markers in order to move forward with the engineering. And then we got to get right of entry for the entire 2.8 miles. And the challenge there is the city only owns 15% of the creek.
This is a challenge because, dealing with the individual property owners can be tough, and trying to explain why it is vital they approve is not easy, and I'm sure you're going to get pushback. So this is a big part of this project.
You bet it is, and that's why we need cooperation from everybody. And our staff has been aggressively out there. You know, the bigger corporations that own the creek, like the ADOT, like the railroad, the mine,
right.
Those aren't a big problem.
Right.
We have about 84 residents that own property in the creek, and my last report last week was we were down to about 8 that hadn't signed. So
good.
It's been,
that's
good.
It's
really moved quickly.
Yeah, yes. Excellent.
And mainly those are people that do not live here.
Of course.
Well, now we have to track them down in another state or city or whatever.
Oh, that's such an issue. And we talk often with Tim about it with regard to blight and what can be done. And
yes.
when it's impossible to find the taxpayer, for instance. And right now, that is tough. I can't wait to hear how you resolve it.
Yeah, and I think we'll be successful with it because we don't want to leave an area that isn't the sediment isn't removed. We have other options if we have to, legally to do it. But with only 8 not signing, that's a pretty good sign that it's moving forward pretty quick.
Yes.
And then we have to find a company that has the resources that they can bring in, and they may be a company that comes from out of town but utilizes local resources, subcontractors, to take the sediment out, because I can't remember how many tons and tons of dirt we're going to be moving. And then we have to find a location that will accept that sediment, hopefully close by, so that cuts down the time frame.
Yeah.
Because everything needs to be tested before we even move it. So it's a huge project.
It is a huge project. Now, what are you testing for?
Well, they'll test it, for sediment and, anything that may have come down from the burn scar,
okay.
For any hazardous material, that could have ended up in the waterways, stuff like that. So if it is, then it has to be a designated area for that dirt to go. We can't just dump it anywhere.
Right. That's what I was wondering, if they turn up a positive. But it seems like you're on it. You'll have a plan for what to do.
You bet. Yeah, and we signed for the engineering part of it. We approved that in December ahead of time, and that was like a $1.2 million just for the engineering part of it.
Yeah.
So it's a huge project, and like I said, this is something that needs to be done. The good thing about this project, with the state and DEMA, when we talked to them and met with them, they said, because we've already spent, several million dollars already on recovery, but to get our 75% back could take 2-3 years down the road. We don't know when we're going to get it.
Right.
So we're already out that money and waiting for reimbursement.
Yeah.
With this NRCS, the good thing about it is we can invoice on a 30-day basis and then get return funding right away.
Good.
So that way we reinvest it every month as we move along the project. And towards the end, we'll get to a point where it's going to run into, where are we going to get the money to finish up the project?
Right. It's frightening because what you're saying is the city basically is going to advance this money and expect reimbursement for it. And sometimes you're not sure when that's coming.
Not from the state. We don't.
Yeah.
We don't know from the state. And that was kind of disappointing. I thought it would be within a couple of months, but it could be a year. It could be 2 years. Who knows?
Oh. Not easy.
No, it isn't. But that's the one project. And then as we move into the future, our sewer lines are going to have to be replaced. A lot of damage in there. We got them to work sufficiently right now. But if we were to replace them, that's about $36 million in the future.
Wow.
So a lot of, it's going to be a lot of recovery ongoing. But at the same time, we don't want to stop the progress we have made with economic development and everything else. So now we're going back into picking up some of these projects and stuff that we were doing prior to that, so we can keep our city moving forward.
Exactly.
We're always going to have recovery in the back of our, in the back seat, but we got to move forward.
Right.
So on, in January 28th, we have Municipal Property Corporation. And this is something we've had for years. I've known it for 10 years, and we have one meeting a year. And my vice mayor, Mike Stapleton, is the chairman of that, president of that, group. And then the council serves on that group, but we've never really utilized it.
Okay.
So what we did is, because we may come up with some ideas where we can utilize it, so we went got away from us being the board members. And we recommended and voted unanimously. And those new board members on this Municipal Property Corporation is Steve Bratton, Susan Guerrero, James Menlove, Robin Bradford, and Ben Locklear.
Okay.
So we have a new board, and we're going to see how creative, how do we use that board in order to help us, even with projects in the future.
Good. So this has existed, but has laid dormant, and now we're looking at we've got a board. What type of activity could they undertake?
Well, the way I understand it, and I'm not real up to date on it, but you can get, you know, like it'd be more for economic development.
Good.
Where they can lend money or you know, it'd be able to put money. It'd be like a lending agency, I guess it would be.
Okay. And where would the funding come from? The funding to lend.
You know, that's the thing that I'm not real, like I said, we haven't used it, and we're working through that, and I will get more information on that so I understand it better so I can explain it.
Okay.
In the process of all this trying to come up with, you know, match money and everything, we did approve Resolution 1927, and this authorized our staff to submit an application under the Clean Water State Revolving Fund, and it's a loan, it's a WIFA loan, in the amount of $4 million. And this can only be used for water infrastructure. So in the future, if we have something that we may have to utilize it as a project money or maybe as our match, we have at least we have an option there. We don't have to accept it, but we have it in the channel now.
No, that's good. That's a great contingency.
Yes, you bet. And then at the same time, we approved Resolution 1928, and again, another application to WIFA. This is the drinking water. I'm sorry, the other one was sewer. This is the drinking water revolving fund. This one for $2 million. So in total, we submitted a request for $6 million from WIFA, which is a loan that the city takes on in debt. But again, there is a forgivable part of it, so we may not have to pay back the full amount. So that's what we'll have to wait to see what they come up with.
Okay.
So both these funding applications are intended to restore our enterprise fund specific to water and sewer for financial support to existing projects whose original allocations were redirected to address emergency flood repairs over the past five months. So the money we spent, we may be able to utilize this for these. And approval for these funds will ensure project continuity while also strengthening our capacity to address ongoing and future recovery needs resulting from the funds. So we're just trying to come up with, because whatever we do to come up with our match is going to be a little bit of everything. We're just exploring all options at this point. The legislature this past 6 months, they changed the date for election, the primary anyway.
Oh, okay.
That will take place on the primary July 21st, 2026, and the general's November 3rd, 2026. And I guess the reason being so they have more time to filter through the ballots and make sure. I think it's going to change even primary in the next one to even sooner than July 21st, so they have even more time in between.
Yeah, and that makes sense also for the candidates who are victorious in the primary. It gives them more time to campaign for the general.
You bet.
And Arizona was probably as late as any primary was in America, so this makes sense.
Well, look how long it took, yeah.
Yeah.
It took quite a bit. They could have quite a bit of time to get the final numbers.
Yes.
We did have a public hearing on Ordinance 894, and that was on February 24th, and this was to hear input and discuss and consider a proposed text amendment to the zoning code, and this is concerning home occupation provisions in residential areas. This amendment follows an in-depth review by the Planning and Zoning Commission, which studied this issue and forwarded a recommendation to approve it. So it was an open meeting, public hearing. We heard input of different, and really it has to do with auto repair in a residential area, to dog grooming, to daycare, to preschool. There was a list of about eight things. So they reviewed it and they gave a recommendation.
So what we're talking about is homeowners using their residence for businesses such as dog grooming or a preschool. And so what was the recommendation about going forward on these things?
Well, it was recommended on some of them. There was an item 5 and 6, which the main thing, because right now, and I've been studying this a lot, we have a lot of deficiency in daycare. So to make it more stringent, and it would hurt our community. So right. It was putting some requirements in place, like if you had four children that you had daycare, I guess under DES, and your certificate said six, you could take up to six.
Uh-huh.
But this text amendment would limit you to four unless you got a CUP, a conditional use permit. So what the council did when we went to our meeting, and I'll give more depth because we talked about it last time, is we took out five and six. We're going to do a more in-depth study of daycare and preschool because we feel it's important. We need to come up with a mechanism to encourage more because of the efficiency we have in our community.
Makes sense. But in things like dog grooming or auto repair, what will the new rules be for that?
Well, I think they were prohibited in some cases, but it's going to be a discussion again coming forward. Dog grooming was I don't think is a big issue. I think the big issue was to kennel dogs in a residential area.
Right.
Because of the noise.
I understand that. You betcha. So yeah,
and
it's still ongoing, these discussions. Nothing's set in stone yet.
Still ongoing, yeah.
Good.
We did not accept the text amendment in our meeting. So now we're going to further discuss it. We may kick back some portions back to planning and zoning to reconsider with our recommendations also. Auto, grooming were the ones that we have some modifications. And then daycare and preschool, we want to study more. We want to, we want to meet with these people that actually do it. You know, what's the process? I mean, they're governed by the state. So if they're governed by the state, how can we put more stringent requirements on them than the state does?
This is very interesting, and I can see it from all sides. The daycare really highlights that you can't just put forth these restrictions when there's a need, there's many things involved. So I can understand planning and zoning wanting to set forth some hard and fast rules, but now they need to be reviewed for realistic expectations.
As a council, we have a final say.
Right. And so this is ongoing. And at this point, of course, every one of these people has to have a business license with the City of Globe if they're in the city. So you're aware.
They should.
Right.
And that's another thing not all of them do.
Well, you can go after quickly.
Yeah. And the thing is, and there's some daycares out there that aren't even under DES. They just do it.
Oh, of course.
What liability do they take on, themselves as an individual?
Well, huge, absolutely, but they may not realize that, and they may not have insurance that covers it, because if they think their homeowner insurance covers it, it doesn't. So that's educational from that standpoint. I wonder how many people doing that are aware what they're doing in terms of putting themselves in harm's way.
Exactly, and that's what we want to do. We want to learn more about it. But at the same time, we don't educate people so they don't get themselves into liability. Because if they are DES certified and they were required to get a business license in the city, does the city assume some of that liability knowingly that they don't have a DES?
Oh, that's interesting. That's fascinating. Yes. In terms of a major lawsuit, how the dominoes would fall. Yeah, and
exactly.
Obviously business licensing has really gone through a lot recently. The requirements this year were pretty voluminous about what you had to supply. So they're trying, but there's probably many more steps to this.
You bet, yeah. So that's why we kicked it back. We pulled it from there. We're going to form a work group with our council. And just take our time and study it.
Good.
Make sure that we understand it totally.
Good.
So it'll be interesting.
Yes, it will.
And then along with that, we're going to be studying our business license. We want to study and get more input into nonprofit versus profit. So there's a lot entailed. We want to cater to our community, basically.
Sure.
We want to make sure that we're getting all the input before we make that final decision.
No, understood. And I know they've been changing it. I mean, like this year, for instance, on my two business licenses, I had to pay the state $50 each to get a certificate of good standing. It wasn't enough just to show it on the web that I was in good standing. Had to come up with a certificate. So that's all right for me, but for somebody who maybe has more entities or is in a less of a financial position, that's a hardship.
And that's another thing there is that, you know, we're looking at our application process, and I think it was changed where you had to show everything. But if you're signing off and saying you have it, then hopefully that resolves us from the city from any liability that, you know.
Right, because if the city...
It'll be interesting.
It will be interesting. And, I would assume if you sign off and the business says we are in compliance, that should free the city. There's only so much due diligence you can do. But, I was a little taken aback that on those certificates of good standing. It's like, wait a minute. So I understand what they're trying to do, but maybe not the best way to do it.
Yeah, we have to... Because how we're going to enforce it, you know, that would take more time, more resources,
yes,
and everything, you know.
Yes.
If that business signs off on it, that's their responsibility.
Yeah.
I would think.
I would too.
You bet. So these are things we're going to be exploring and reviewing and everything. And we're going to take our time doing it. We're not going to get in a hurry to do it. We want to make sure we get it right.
Oh, absolutely. And on some of it, you'll get legal advice as well.
Oh, yeah. You bet. You bet we will. So the last thing I have is March 18th. I have my coffee with the mayor again, and it's a Copper City's coffee, 1:00. It's been going well. We're still getting a lot of individuals asking questions and coming. And I think it's a good opportunity to just sit down informally and talk about things, you know, that we're able to at that point.
I think it's great. Absolutely great. And I'm so glad people are showing up. And one thing that Big John and I have been talking about is using email for people who hear these meetings and don't call, and I understand that, but maybe have questions or comments. And if you can email us at radio@kqss.net, I'll save the emails and we'll talk about it at the next meeting.
Oh, that'd be great. I think that'd be good because we don't get no calls in.
I know.
Some people feel more comfortable emailing, and that's fine.
Exactly. It is fine. And I can understand, while there's absolutely no reason not to participate, some people, you know, I'm not going to get on the radio, and I got that. But so, yeah, if they'll email radio@kqss.net, we will get it to you.
Oh, that'll be great. We appreciate that very much. That'll be great.
Sure.
So that's about the extent of mine, unless you have any questions.
No, a lot of
next time.
A lot of information, a lot of great information, and this meeting will replay Sunday morning on KJAA, and then it'll be on KQSS.net in perpetuity. So if somebody has missed part of it or wants to hear part of it, it'll absolutely be there. But yes, a lot of information. But going back to the start, my head is still spinning about $43,000.
Yeah,
that's unbelievable.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I mean, of all the things you were going to tell me, I never would have thought it was that. So I look forward to next month.
You,
yeah.
You bet. And a couple of years ago, it was in the 60,000.
What?
So we have resolved some of them.
Man. Yeah. trying to understand this, I think, is above my pay grade. But
yeah, mine too.
I'll look forward to next month's meeting. And thank you very much, Al.
Oh, thank you, Rolly.